Remember what Jesus said? He said in John, let's all quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice it said, if you believe on him, you shouldn't perish. Now that verse is heralded to all sinners usually the first thing. And it should be one of the first ones, but the problem is a lot of people are left with that verse. And even the people presenting that verse think, well, that's all they need to know. Just they believe on Jesus, they have everlasting life. But how many remember what John 17:20 says? Jesus was praying for his apostles, his disciples, and saying, Father, I not only pray for these, but I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word. So we will believe on Jesus to be saved, but John 17:20 says you believe on him through the apostles' words. So in other words, it's not enough just to say, well, I believe in Jesus, I've got everlasting life, or I gave my heart to the Lord, I accepted him as my personal Savior. Is that what the apostles preached, though? We believe on him through the apostles' words. And last week, we talked about the Romans Road. And here you can see on the screen the Romans Road. And this I found this on a website. And here it mentions the first pathway on the Romans Road leads you to Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how many know we need to know that we sinned and we're short of the glory? And then they take you on this Romans road to Romans 6, verse 23. Once you realize all have sinned, well, the wages of sin is death. And then this website went on and explained sin has an ending. It results in death. We all face death. So once a person knows that, then read the rest of the verse in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus. So you see the reasoning? You found out you're a sinner. You found out you're going to die because of sin. And then you can get eternal life through Jesus. And then they take you to Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he died for us. That's how we're getting eternal life. And then here's where they take you, but unfortunately they leave you. In Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it says, call out to God in the name of Jesus. And then verse 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And they stop there, they leave you there. And by the way, after you're saved, notice they said, water baptism is one of the ways you first show that you've been joined to Jesus. This is an action, and actions will not save you. However, it is an act of obedience and a symbol of commitment. How many have ever heard people lead you through the Romans Road like that? You heard that before? Well, when we ended off last week, we took the passage of Romans 10 and realized that just saying, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and then you're saved, is not enough. That's being taken out of context if they tell you that's how you're saved. Because when Paul told us to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, he was just giving a quote from the Old Testament. Now, how many know the Old Testament doesn't have the plan of salvation in the New Testament? I mean, they would have been saved back in the Old Testament if you could find out how to be saved back then before the cross. It's only going to be vague. It's just going to give you some things. So you see here in the bottom of my notes, John 3:16 says, believe and you'll be saved. You'll have everlasting life. But John 17:20, he said, you've got to believe according to the apostles' words. And again, most of you heard this, but you're not going to find the apostles' words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Apostles hadn't even started preaching yet. Jesus hadn't even died on the cross yet. And when you go to the epistles, beginning with Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, so forth, they're written to people already saved in churches. And you're going to see, like Romans, you're going to see references to salvation, but you're not going to see the actual sermons they preach to sinners of how to be saved. And then in Revelation, it's a book entirely of prophecy. And I left out one book in the New Testament. I talked about the Gospels, the Epistles, and Revelation. What book did I leave out? The book of Acts. Because that's the book where you see the apostles actually preaching to lost people. And so we're going to have to go and read the book of Acts in order to find out what Jesus said in John 17 and 20, how to believe on him through the apostles' words. Now, we left off at Romans 10. Let's look at this. If it doesn't, you might say, well, Mike, what do you mean? He says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. That's what it says. What else is there to know? Well, let's just read that and get an idea exactly what he's trying to say when he mentions that a few verses later. Romans 10 and 5. Moses describes the righteousness of the law, which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, when he begins with the word that here, he's quoting from Leviticus 18 and 5. All these words at the end of verse 5 are from Leviticus 18 and 5. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. See, it said that up here, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. How many can see he's quoting from Leviticus? Now we go back to Romans 10, and let's go to verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith, see, that was the righteousness of law. This is the righteousness of faith. Speaks on this wise. And now he's going to quote Deuteronomy 30 down here, and you could actually see that while I'm reading up here. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the deep. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, who's we? The apostles. He's already referring to what he preached. And he's not preaching in Romans 10. He's teaching an already saved group of people in the church. But anyway, let's go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Notice it says the word right here in Romans, and then down here in Deuteronomy, this commandment. That word is this commandment you read about in Deuteronomy 30. This commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up to heaven to bring it down to us, that we may hear and do it? Neither it's beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So you can see how Paul's quoting from this chapter in Deuteronomy. Now that commandment was promised to Israel to bring restoration to them. Isn't it wonderful that Paul quotes that commandment and says that's the word of faith we're preaching, and if Israel wants to know how to be restored, they just need to listen to our preaching. Woo! Deuteronomy 30 was talking about what the apostles would preach centuries later. Now, back to Romans 10 and 8. Remember, but what saith it? What is the Old Testament saying? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and thy mouth. He quoted verse 14 from Deuteronomy 30. He interprets Deuteronomy 30 and 14 and says, that word, by the way, is the word of faith which we preach. Have you ever heard of, who is it? Kenneth Hagin got Word of Faith Ministries. This is where he gets his title from, this verse. The word of faith which we preach. It's dealing with the word of faith that Paul was preaching, and that was called the commandment in verse 11. And so Paul said that's the gospel. And then back again, Romans 10 and 9. Here it is. Here's what they tell you. Here's where that website finished off with people. But I'm going to keep on reading past this verse. I'm going to show you there's more to it than what he just said about your mouth and heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Now remember John 3 and 16? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have everlasting life. And remember I told you, don't leave anybody with John 3 and 16, because if you just tell them to believe, they don't know what you mean by believe. Believe Jesus is my Savior? I believe that. Do I get everlasting life? Or I believe he existed, he's even in the encyclopedias. So I'm saved, I got everlasting life. No, you've got to go further than that and read John 17 and 20. Say John 17 and 20. Where Jesus is talking about believing on him, like John 3 and 16 says, saves us, but he says, through the apostles' words. So he's dealing in Romans 10 with scriptures that say your heart and your mouth and your mind and believing are all part of this. So is that telling us, so just believe he existed, just believe he was there, he even died on the cross for you. You believe that? Yes, I do. I got everlasting life. No, he didn't stop there. He's just introducing what he really wants to say now. There's not one verse. Did you ever notice this before? There's not one verse in the entire Bible that says, accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you'll be saved. It's nowhere in the Bible. Now, where did we get that from? Accept Jesus as your personal Savior, accept Him into your heart, and you'll be saved. That's not anywhere in the entire Bible. The closest you can get to is in Romans 10, right here in verse 9. But what I'm going to show you is that is just a precursor to what Paul's really going to talk about here. Keep reading. Somebody say, keep reading. If you keep reading, you're going to notice Paul gives you all you need to know, so you don't have to guess. So verse 10, there he is again, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. By the way, do you know what the old King James word unto means? It's like towards. It's towards salvation. You're on your right way now. You're not with Buddha. You're not looking for Hare Krishna or Muhammad. You're believing in Jesus towards salvation. You're on your way. Somebody say, you're on your way. But you're by no means saved yet. Now, verse 11. For the scripture says, whosoever, doesn't matter if you're Jew, doesn't matter if you're Gentile, doesn't matter if you're Chinese, Eskimo, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For, and then he just said what I said. There's no difference between the Jew, the Greek, the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For again, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, remember I showed you where Paul quoted Leviticus? Well, now he's quoting Isaiah 28 and 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The King James says in Romans, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. See? Here's where we find out that there's actually more than confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. Romans 10 and 14. And by the way, like I said here, keep in mind, John 17 and 20. You'll believe on me through the apostles' words. Paul says in Romans 10 and 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. So when he referred to Isaiah about believing, it's like Jesus said in John chapter 3. Remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? No way. I can't see that. And then Jesus in John 3 and 10 says, well, if you're not going to believe on me, I'm paraphrasing it, why are we having this conversation? He said, the wind blows where it lists and you don't know where it comes from or where it's going, but you hear the sound thereof. And I'm talking about what I know, Nicodemus. I'm talking about what I've seen and what I've heard. And you're not believing me? And that's why John 3 and 16 says, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Jesus, me, the Son of God, he sent this Son. You've got to believe on me. Nicodemus, I can't even talk to you about water and spirit if you're not even going to believe on me. So John 3 and 16 is actually a rebuke to a man that wouldn't believe what Jesus was talking about in water and spirit. And so he's saying, you got to believe on me to begin with. And people are taking that and said, you got to believe on him and you're saved. You got to believe. Well, there's more to it than that. First of all, he's talking about believing in the new birth of water and spirit. And before, let me pause there. Does anybody have an idea what you think being born of the water is? And being born of what the Spirit, what that is?
Baptism, Holy Spirit.
Anything else? Being born of the water. Being born. It must be important because Jesus said, except you be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we need to know what being born of the water and Spirit is, or we're not in. Any other ideas on what being born of the water and Spirit are? There are different ideas out there, I'm telling you. They're out there. Keep that in mind. But let's continue here in Romans. So after he says, you can't call unless you believe, and then you can't believe unless you hear, and then you can't hear without a preacher, then it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? And what did we say the root word of apostle is? Sent. Apostle means a sent one. So you're not going to even be able to call unless you believe. You're not even going to be able to believe unless you've heard about it. And you can't hear about it without a preacher. And a preacher can't preach unless he's an apostle, except he's sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Oh, now there's more than just believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. There's a gospel that we have to believe that's going to be preached by somebody sent of God. And you won't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You won't find it in these epistles of Revelation. You'll only find what those sent men preached in the book of Acts. So I want to ask you, when somebody explained to you how to be saved, did they take you to the book of Acts? And did they show you the sermon that those apostles preached? And then tell you, now you have to do what those apostles told those sinners if you want to be saved. Is that what was done with you? Did they leave you at John 3 and 16? Did they leave you at Romans 10? Because that website I showed you this morning, it left people at Romans 10 where it says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. And that was it. But you keep reading past that verse, and all of a sudden you say, oh, wait a minute, you can't even call on him unless you believe, and you can't believe unless you hear, and you can't hear without a preacher. And by the way, that preacher better be sent by God, not just any Tom, Dick, or Harry. And what you're going to do is obey the gospel that those preachers preached. So Paul added a whole lot to just believing. He said, not obeying the gospel is equal to not believing the report. And he says, Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So you've got to believe the report. You've got to read the report. You've got to hear the report if you're going to be able to believe on it. And so the gospel is not laid out in Romans 10. He's just making references to how those guys preached and that gospel, rather, so that we could obey. So, folks, we have to go to Acts to see how they preached it and understand what we're intended to believe. I believe. Well, what do you believe? I believe Jesus existed, so that's enough for me. Well, what about you? Well, I believe it's more than just he existed. It's he died and was buried and resurrected. That's what saves me. And well, what about you? I believe what the apostles preached about Jesus. And it's more, sir, than just believing he existed. And you, sister, it's more than just believing he even died, was buried, and resurrected. I've gone to the book of Acts. I've found out how they explain Jesus, and that's what Jesus said we need to know in order to believe on him. Have you been taken to the book of Acts? No, they didn't take me there. What about you? No. Well, who was taken to the book of Acts to see the actual gospel, the actual words? And very few Christians have. Dave was right. There's a famine of the word, all right. Belief can't occur unless you hear about Jesus and a preacher comes so they can preach Jesus via the gospel. So it's not just believe and call on his name. Call on his name, you'll be saved. Come on, do it. Lord, save me. You got it. You're saved. You're on your way to glory. That's not the gospel. That's where people think they're to stop, but that's not it. There are certain ways you have to call. A preacher has to explain. Now, we've got no apostles like those 12 today. Now, how many believe there's still apostles? There's prophets, there's evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But there are no apostles like those 12. Because how many know God used them to lay the foundation, and the foundation's done? Remember, Paul said, if any man lay any other foundation, that which we have heard, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So the foundation's laid. There will be no more foundation anymore added to. We're just going to build on top. So after we showed how Paul emphasized so much about false prophets and our need to heed the doctrine of Paul. By the way, remember what John said in his epistle? He that is of God hears us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. Who are us? The apostles. And then he said, hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In other words, if you want to find a false prophet out, ask them, can you show me the scriptures that tell me how to be saved? And if they take you to John 3 and 16, that's true, but it's not enough. Then you can take them to John 17 and 20. Yeah, we got to believe on him to have everlasting life, but look what Jesus said in John 17 and 20. Believe on him through the apostles' words. So take me to the apostles' words. And then if they're quick enough, they might take you to Romans 10. Well, there, that's Paul. Believe on him, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you're saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Well, you might have rightly divided the word a little better than that, though, and realize, well, yeah, you're getting there, but keep on reading. Let's talk about the people that were sent, the people that preached. Are you telling me that that's all the apostles preached, is just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart? And if he says yes, whoo, I got a wake-up call for you. Let's go to the book of Acts and find out. And there's nowhere in the book of Acts it leaves you there. And so we know the ones that are sent of God are the ones that preach the word, and they are the apostles. And because they were the only ones who were sent of God, how do we know who's sent of God then today? What about today? How can we, if we don't have these men around, what are we going to do now? Well, I can come along, and people like me and you, and we can go to what the Bible said they preached and relate the same thing to others. And if you hear anybody preach salvation, compare it by the word of God that the apostles preached. Paul said, if I didn't preach it, cast it out. Forget it. So the apostles' words are what we base our salvation on. And Jesus said, I'm going to stand behind Peter's words. Remember, he said, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth, Peter, I'm going to bind in heaven. Whatever you bind loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. In other words, I'll anoint you so much. The Father's going to answer my prayer, Peter. I prayed for you, and I prayed that everybody will believe on me through your words, and not just you, Peter. But if you keep reading, and even in Matthew, he gives the keys of the kingdom to all the apostles. And Peter's not the only one at the gate. All the apostles are there. Praise God. In fact, how many remember what are the names written on the 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21? The names of the 12 apostles. And praise God, Peter would have such an anointing on him, he can't go wrong. And Romans 6, 1 and 16 says, I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel, because what's the power of God to salvation? It. That gospel is for salvation to everyone that believes. So you've got to find out what the gospel is to be able to believe on it. And there's John 17 and 20. Quote it with me. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. These apostles that I'm praying for, Father, people are going to believe on me through their word. So I pray for them. I pray for them. You sanctify them through the truth, and thy word is truth. And I pray for everyone who ever believes on me through them. Hallelujah. And look in Mark 1 and 15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. repent ye and believe the gospel. So it's not just believe he's Savior. Right at the beginning it says believe the gospel. And there is a gospel that explains how he is Savior. And here it is in 2 Corinthians 4 and 1. Therefore, seeing we, who? The apostles, have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, who? The apostles, ourselves, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, trust that Jesus' prayer was answered, that you're going to believe on Jesus through what men like Paul and Peter and John and James preached. Don't just believe Mike Bloom. You believe what the apostles preached. Find out if Mike Bloom is giving you the apostles' sermons, if he's giving you the plan of salvation that they gave. And if I check my Bible and look for accept Jesus as your personal Savior, I won't find the apostles make that statement once. And if I look, raise your hand if you believe Jesus is your, you know, accept him into your heart. How many accept him into your heart? You're also, I don't find the apostles doing anything like that. So somebody please tell me, where did that stuff come from? And then he says in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, this is 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. It is hid to them that are what? Lost. Their apostles' gospel or apostolic gospel. And remember 1 Peter 2 and 8, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to them which stumble. What, stumbling at the rock is what here? Stumbling at the word. Being disobedient whereunto they were appointed. How many know the word is the rock? Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So do you know what? You can believe Jesus is Savior. You can believe he died, was buried, and resurrected for your sins, but still be blinded by the God of this world. Because the belief that he's talking about here, it's what they talked about in the book of Acts, their sermons, their preaching. So the gospel was hid, the apostles' gospel. What? Lest the light of the glorious gospel, everybody say the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Because Paul said, we, us apostles, the Father is answering Jesus' prayer. We're not preaching ourselves. Well, Peter, I'd rather listen to Jesus. Thank you very much. Wait a minute, sir. Yeah, Peter? We're not preaching ourselves. What about you, Paul, James, John? No, we're not preaching ourselves. The Father is answering Jesus' prayer that you would believe on him through us. We're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. And you know what we are? We're just your servants for Jesus' sake. And praise God, Jesus said, believe on him to be saved. Paul described preaching the gospel as preaching Jesus. So believing Jesus is actually believing the gospel. Praise God. Now, this is the book of Ephesians. In the book of Acts, I'm actually going to take you to the chapter where Paul first preached to these people, before they were even a church. But let's go to the after they're already saved, in chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you hear the gospel and you believe it, the Holy Spirit is going to seal your life. Somebody say, born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. John 7 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you believe on him the way the scripture said, rivers of living water is going to flow out of you. But this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So here Jesus in the Gospels is saying, if you believe on me the way the Scripture says, rivers of living water are going to come out of your belly. But that's not possible yet, because I haven't been glorified. But after I'm glorified, it's going to happen to you. And how many know after he was glorified, gone up into glory, and the book of Acts kicks into high gear, and we start seeing these guys getting filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is the rivers of living water just gushing out of their lives, which Jesus said, that's what should happen if you believe on me. And he's saying you'll be sealed with that spirit of promise if you believe on me. After, if you believed, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Woo! And there it is in 1 John 4 and 6. We're of God. Who are they talking about? The apostles. We. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here is how you know error. Sir, I need to ask you a question, Mr. Preacher. Yes, go ahead. What do you preach for salvation? I preach what Jesus said, John 3 and 16. Well, Jesus said you got to believe on him through the apostles. So don't you believe that what the apostles preach, that's what you're supposed to tell me? Well, yeah, what Paul said in Romans, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Well, sir, he was talking to people already saved. Let's go to the book of Acts where he's actually preaching to sinners. And will you take me there to show me how to get saved? Oh, no, that was just for the Jews. That's exactly what I've been told. Oh, that's just for the Jews. Well, I'm going to show you it's not. And you might say, well, get to the book of Acts. Get to the book of Acts already. I will. But I'm just showing you, look at the gazillion scriptures here that are basing this stuff on here. So Jesus said the apostles would cause people to believe on him. Find out what they preached. You go to the book of Acts to see that. And the early church got saved according to what the apostles preached when they believed on their sermons, acted upon it, and received whatever they were taught. How many know we've got to receive everything those apostles preached? Amen. And so believing is far more than just believing he existed. It's far more than just he died, he was buried, and resurrected. Let's go to the gospel. Now, before I go to the book of Acts, and how many times have I said that? I want you to see Jesus' Great Commission. How many know what the Great Commission is? And the last, you know, every one of you quoted the end of Matthew 28. But did you know the Great Commission is in Mark, Luke, and John also? But you always think of Matthew, don't you? I do too, the Great Commission. But I'm going to take you through all of them. I want to hear it all. How many believe in full gospel? I like the full gospel. So most only read Matthew for the Great Commission, but it's in the others too. But here's Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to who? Me, in heaven and earth. How many know if you got it all, nobody else has any? If we're playing marbles and I got all the marbles, guess who's got no marbles? I don't mean that as a pun either. But... So he's enabled with all authority. Power in Greek is authority. And now go to verse 19. Go therefore. Go ye. What's therefore mean? How many know therefore is there for a reason? What's the reason? Right here in verse 18, he's got all power. Because I have all power, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice he says, teach everyone and baptize them. Now, notice it's a singular name. He didn't say names. How many know Father's not a name? Can you imagine me writing a check out to you and I sign it Father. Now, go cash her. How many know what the bank's going to tell you? That's not a name. What do you mean? Father. That's not a name. Father's a title. Okay. I got some kids, but I'm also a kid myself from my dad. So, son. Son. Take that to the bank now. How many know what the bank's going to tell you? Okay. Holy Ghost, if I was Jesus. Not good enough. I don't see a name here, sir. I see all these titles, but I don't see a name. Well, we're going to go to the book of Acts, and you're going to find out they used the name. You're going to find out in the book of Acts they actually used the name. They never once said Father, Son, Holy Ghost when they baptized people. Ooh, come on. In the book of Acts, there's not one situation where they said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus has given them instructions here. If I said to Brad, Brad, go tell the store down the road that your pastor has an account and he wants a loaf of bread, put it on the pastor's account. So, pastor wants some bread. Well, what's his name? Pastor. Mike, I told them what you said. Well, I didn't mean for you to quote me verbatim. I meant for you to take what you know is the name of your pastor and tell him the name. So that's what Jesus is doing here. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when you go to the book of Acts and Peter says, okay, what did Jesus tell us to do? He actually gives the name. And never once did they quote those words. Now, how many preachers told you that? Well, we'll get into it. I'll show you. How many know? Don't just take Mike Bloom's word for it. We're going to the book of Acts, okay? And I know you wish I was there yet, but let's go. Jesus has actually 1,500 titles plus. But how many know he's not 1,500 different gods? There's only one God. The Spirit of God was manifest in the flesh. We actually sang it this morning. What does Emmanuel mean in English? God with us. But anyway, we're going to see how the apostles took that command, because he's talking to the apostles there, and we're going to see how they obey that. So, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I want you to lay it all out, boys. Every bit of it, not part of it. I commanded you some things, and I want every bit of it preached to those people. And lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end of the world, I'll be there with you. The Father's answering the prayer. Praise God. Now, again, some people, when they come to this discrepancy in the book of Acts and then Matthew or baptism, they say, well, I'd listen to Jesus' words. I don't know if I'm going to do what Peter said. But here Jesus gave them detailed instructions. You go out and do what I said. And how many believe Peter obeyed those words? I think Peter obeyed them. And if you think there's a contradiction between what Jesus said about baptism and Peter, you're misunderstanding the picture. Peter was interpreting what Jesus said in Matthew 28 and obeying it. But I won't get ahead of myself. So don't worry about what the apostles preach. Don't worry about them contradicting Jesus. You need to worry about people other than the apostles and Jesus contradicting their words. Amen. Because I tell you what, there's a lot of that. Oh, Mark 16. Now here we're going to Mark. Here's the Great Commission in Mark. He said unto them, notice he's talking to the apostles, go ye into all the world. Didn't he say that in Matthew? Preach what? The gospel to every creature. And look at this verse. This verse. People don't like this verse for some reason. Now make sure I quote it right. He that believeth and is saved shall be baptized. Words? I said all the words. What did he say? Didn't he say he that believeth and is saved shall be baptized? Because that's what's usually preached today. If you're saved, you can get baptized after you're saved. But what did Jesus say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, now how many know you turn those two words around? That's a big difference. So wait, you're telling me, Mike, let me stop you right there. Jesus is telling you, not me. Baptism is part of salvation. Yes. How many see that? Now, remember I warned you about the Good News Bible? What do they take out 15 times? The blood of Jesus, right? That verse isn't even in the Good News Bible. You look for one. And how many have a modern version here? You got the NIV or something else? Watch out for new versions. I'm not saying don't use them, but I've just showed you an example that they will take out powerful verses and not even put them in there. Now, is that verse even in there, Pauline?
No, it ends at verse 8.
It ends at verse 8. So from verse 9 down, it's not even in that Bible. There's all kinds of versions that will take out that whole section. So just keep that in mind. You can check that out. But let's read it again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You might say, well, how come it only says he that believeth not shall be damned? Why doesn't it say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned? Well, if you don't believe, you're not going to get baptized, are you? Let's all say no-brainer. Now, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So look, what didn't Jesus say, if you believe as the scripture said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water? And if you believe, these signs shall follow you. In my name thou shalt cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. You should be having new tongues if you believe. And verse 18, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. And by the way, taking up serpents and that, you just don't go and pick up a serpent and say, I'm going to prove I'm born again and I believe. How many remember Paul on the Isle of Miletus? He went and started building a fire, and then a serpent bit him by accident. He took that serpent, shook it off into the fire, and they thought he was a god because he never died of poisoning. That's what it's talking about. If something should happen to you, you're living a life of faith. These things are going to be with you. Amen. And so he's talking about a church on fire for God. But let's go on for time's sake. Mark 16 and 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now let's go to Luke 24 and 44. This is Luke's version of the Great Commission. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. See, in other words, what Moses said in the Psalms and the prophets. And then it was at this point in Luke 24, Jesus had already been dead and buried and resurrected. And does anybody know how many days he was preaching after his resurrection before he gave them these final words? 40 days. And Pentecost is about 50 days after Passover. Pentecost means 50th. Penta, you know, the Pentagon's got five sides. Pentecost means 50th. So it's about 50. Now this is 40 days he's been preaching, and then he goes up into heaven. And so there's about 10 days left till the day of Pentecost. And then so they left him. They went into the upper room in Acts chapter 2. And then imagine about that 40-day period where Jesus was preaching. And I'm going to show you that verse in a minute. Preach to them apostles for 40 days, preaching about the kingdom. I'm telling you, I don't think they had any mistakes by the time the day of Pentecost arrived. They started talking in tongues, and Peter began preaching, thus saith the Lord. After 40 days of preaching by Jesus, and then him going into glory. You don't have to worry about those apostles. They not only had Jesus praying to the Father for them, and for Jesus praying to everybody that will hear and believe on him through their words, but he preaches to them for 40 solid days. And then he lets them loose. Hallelujah. And so no wonder he put emphasis on what those men were going to preach. And people tell us they'd rather take Jesus' words than the apostles. They're talking through their hats. They were given the seal of Jesus' approval in John 17. They spent 40 days with him after he resurrected. And here we read in verse 46. This is Luke 24 and 46. I actually preached a whole sermon on this several years ago about the little known and unheard words of Jesus. How many have you ever heard preach this? These detailed instructions he told them to preach after he goes. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. And what does that say? Beginning at Jerusalem. It hadn't even been preached yet. It was going to begin to be. Jesus hadn't preached it yet. He gets his disciples just before he's ready to go to heaven. Said, boys, now, before I go, listen to me carefully. I want you to begin preaching something. I've never preached it. You've never preached it. But at Jerusalem, you're going to begin this. Preach repentance. Whew, man, I feel the Holy Ghost just talking about. Preach remission of sins in his name. And I want you to begin at Jerusalem. Listen to me carefully, he said. And notice his name is singular like in Matthew 28. And how many know Jesus is talking here, right? Notice he's referring to his own name and he tells them, preach in his name. Now, Jesus, why didn't you just say my name? How come you're saying you're looking at yourself in the third person, his? It's you we're talking to. It's your name, right? See, he's speaking in the third person just like he did in Matthew 28 and 19. And let me throw a little zinger out there. Not the three persons, the third person. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you go preach repentance and remission of sins in his name. He's talking about himself. See, compare all the great commissions together and get what he's doing here. And now, in verse 48, ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. So when we're going to the book of Acts, we're going to see if they did preach repentance. Because that's what he told them, right? We're going to see if he preached remission of sins in his name. And we're going to, what do you mean, remission of sins in his name? What's his name? Well, we're going to read the book of Acts and find that out. And now he's going to send the promise of the Father? What's that talking about? Well, we'll go to the book of Acts and find that out. Somebody say repentance, remission of sins in his name, and the promise of the Father's coming. So it says, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now that's where he said they're going to begin preaching this, right? Begin at Jerusalem. So, 3 days he was in the grave. 40 days he was preaching. So 7 to 10 days left until we get to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Because Leviticus tells us that Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. Now, let's keep reading in Luke. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and did exactly what he said. They returned to Jerusalem. Let's go, boys. That's what he told us to do. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. That's the last words of the Gospel of Luke. Everybody go, ta-da! The book of Acts. 5 weeks and we're there now. This is lesson 5. Everybody let out a sigh of relief. Woo! The book of Acts. Chapter 1. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. How many remember who is writing the book of Acts? The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts. And when he said the former treatise, he's saying the gospel that I just wrote. Now I'm writing the book of Acts, Theophilus. And then it tells us, in verse 4, Jesus, see, the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts kind of overlap. You're going to read the same thing at the end of Luke that you do in the beginning of Acts. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Remember he said that in Luke? But what? Wait for the promise of the Father. Now didn't he say, you preach repentance, remission of sins in his name, and I'll send the promise of the Father. Now he's saying it here. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John, let's find out what the promise is. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That is the promise of the Father. See that? So if you go back to Luke 24, repentance, remission of sins in his name, and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the promise of the Father. Now, many people make the same mistake and think it's a natural kingdom that the Jews said in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You're going to bring a natural kingdom back to Israel? Verse 7, he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but see how he redirected their conversation? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both. And where does he begin? See? Just like Luke 24, beginning at Jerusalem. Judea, all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I'm going to take you through the book of Acts, and that's exactly the pattern that happened. He takes Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then he gets into Samaria, and then it's the rest of the world after that. The exact pattern is in the book of Acts. It's amazing. But Acts 1 and 14, these all continued with one accord and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I think they put that there on purpose because somebody thinks Mary's not needing this stuff like we need. She was born without sin. Well, I don't think so. Mary was there too. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number of names together was about 120. Now that's why I read that. There's 120 of them there waiting for the promise of the Father, waiting to begin preaching what Jesus told them to begin preaching after that promise would come. And how many know there was more than 12 apostles? There was like 10 times more. There's 120 people there. They weren't all apostles, but the 12 were there plus the rest. And then to save time, they elected an apostle to take Judas's place. His name was Matthias. And then let's go right to the chase in Acts chapter 2. Here they are in the city, waiting to begin preaching. But something had to happen. That promise had to come first, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now they didn't know it was going to be the day of Pentecost. Just so happened that's when it occurred. They were all with one accord in one place. How many of them did verse 15 say? 120 of them, all of them were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. How many of them? 120. And they were all filled. How many? 120, with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember Jesus said in John 3, the sound comes with the wind. There's a phoné in Greek. Phoné means what? Language or sound. And here's the language coming out of them. You don't know where the wind goes, disciples. You don't know where it comes from. But you hear the sound. And in Greek, it's phoné. We get the word phone from it. Phonetics. Phonics. And that sound. And here they are speaking a language as the Spirit gave them utterance. Somebody asks, how many people speak in tongues when they get the Holy Ghost? My answer is 10 out of 10. How many out of 100? 100 out of 100. What about three of us? Three out of three will speak in tongues when you get the Holy Ghost. Everybody will speak in tongues when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 120 of them there did that day, including Mary. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Not just the 12, all of them. Even Mary started talking in other tongues. She needed the Holy Ghost, folks, as much as we need it. And verse 5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Now notice this. Out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? In other words, these are the dummies. These are from the sticks. They're from the backwoods. Galileans. Galileans were the other side of the tracks. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And he counts 17 languages. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, up the parts of Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. Do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? Now some people have the theory that they were speaking gobbledygook, and God was changing the sound waves in their heads so that it was their language. I don't think that's what it was saying. I think what it was saying is that amongst the 120 were people speaking every one of those 17 languages. If you were from Cappadocia, you might look at your buddy and say, you know what he's saying? Well, I know what he's saying over there. He's speaking my language. And this guy would say, well, he's speaking us what we say in Asia. And praise God, they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Now, the only thing you read about described here is not flopping all over the ground and barking like a dog. And you just hear them talking languages. And that made them say, they're drunk. They're drunk. That's what the drunk in the spirit means. These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell. Somebody say, Peter's preaching now. Oh boy, here we go. We're hearing the first sermon now that the people are going to believe on Jesus through the apostles' words. We're hearing what the epistles all pointed back to. We're hearing what Jesus kept pointing us over to. He begins the sermon. The day the church was born, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And if you go back to Joel chapter 2, you'll see this. What they saw happening with these people talking in other languages was what Joel spoke about. And now in verse 17, he begins quoting Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall... Now, how many know they weren't having visions? And the old men weren't dreaming that very day. And no one is even prophesying. They're speaking in tongues. But those things would all come at the same era. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. And if you want to know what that's talking about, it was that same generation where destruction came in a little while. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, and here it is, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you might say, well, there, Mike, they just said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thought you said that wasn't what the sermon was. Keep reading. But did Peter stop there as though all we need to do is call on the name of the Lord? No. He was quoting Joel's incomplete message. I already told you the Old Testament prophets didn't have it clear like we do now. He then, if you keep reading, spoke of Jesus dying on the cross. He spoke of Jesus being resurrected, how David prophesied in the book of Psalms that it wasn't talking about David himself. It was talking about Jesus coming up from the grave. And let's drop down to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified. Now, this is coming from the coward that a little handmaid made curse and swear and lie about Jesus. But he's no coward now. He's got the line of Judah inside of him. He's just been baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he says, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he says, David wasn't the one that was risen from the dead, it was Jesus. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles. Who did they say it to? Peter and the apostles. Just the ones that Jesus said would preach. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, you might, if you're in easy believism, you might go running up, wait a minute. What do you mean what he just told you? Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Peter'd say, step aside. I'm going to tell them what I really meant by that now. Praise God. Remember Paul said it's got to be preached, that gospel they preached, or else a person is accursed if they preach something else? Here it is. Then Peter said unto them, repent. You want to know what to do? Here you go. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many believe God's called you? Then you are commanded by the apostles to repent. Get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say everyone. Now let's compare it. Let's see if they did what Jesus said in Luke 24. Repentance. Okay, Acts 2:38, first thing he said is repent. Yeah, got that right. Okay, now remission of sins in his name. What's that mean? Baptized every one of you in the name. There's the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins. Well, that's what Jesus meant about remission of sins. He's talking about baptism. Baptism in the name of Jesus is remission of sins that Jesus said remission should be preached in his name. We're finding out the way they did that was they preached baptism. And you are witnesses of all these things. And remember the third one? Behold, I send the promise of the Father. What's the third thing Peter said? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember the promise of the Father was the Holy Ghost I showed you earlier? And then he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. And they said, by the way, we know it's the promise because right after he mentions the Holy Ghost in Acts 2 and 39, for the promise is unto you. The Holy Ghost is for you. It's to your children, to all that are far off, as many as the Lord are. Well, the Holy Ghost not for everybody, talking in tongues. Wait a minute. It's for everyone whom the Lord our God shall call. And remember, there it is, back in Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And verse 40, and with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. Now hold it. These words here, those words, and many more were about saving people. Is that what the preacher told you for salvation? Have they told you Acts 2:38?